First of all, I want to clarify, I am not Christian Yelick. So I know that I've been walking around the church and people have been staring at me. It's like, is that him? No, it's not. It's just plain old Pastor Armin. But I wanted to dress like this to make a point. And it is that you can have the shirt, you can have the cap, you can have the bat, and you can know the game of baseball very well, but that doesn't make you a baseball player. Do you hear it? So you can yell at the TV, you can yell at the umpire and the game, but that doesn't make you a baseball player. That makes you a fan. A fan is the one that sits on the pews, that sits on the seats in the baseball park or on their couch and watches the game, knows the game, dresses like people that are playing the game. But there's one basic difference. Can you guess what that is? They don't train. They don't go through the exercises. They don't practice. They just show up for the game and enjoy it. But the athlete, the baseball player, has to spend weeks, days, months, their entire lifetime preparing to be able to play. And that is difficult, and that is painful. But the reality is that every good thing in life has a price. And that if we want to be like Christian Yelick, we need to be willing to take the risk to be hit on your knee and end your season early. You need to be willing to suffer for what you want, for what you think is right. And as we are studying the book of Philippians, and I'm going to put the bat down before I hit someone with it. As we're studying the book of Philippians is talking about, is teaching us how to imitate Christ, how to learn to be more like Jesus. And in order to be more like Jesus, we need to understand how he is and what he did for us so that we can learn how to do that. And tonight we're going to be talking about a subject that maybe it's not the most fun subject to talk on a Sunday night. We're going to be talking about suffering. We're going to be talking about the cost of doing what God has called us to do. In order for us to understand, before we go to Scripture, and we're going to go verse by verse, I want you to understand a little bit of the story about Philippi. Philippi was a major city, and it was a very political city. They liked to be in good terms with the Roman Empire, so they had very clear structures of power. They had very clear structures of pagan religion. So when Christianity came announcing that there was this Christ that was Lord, when Christianity came saying that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar, that Jesus is the King of Kings, not Caesar, that Jesus is the Son of God, not Caesar, that didn't sit very well in Philippi. And that started causing problems since the very beginning. Paul was actually persecuted while he was in Philippi. And later on, after he left, the church was going through the exact same thing. They were coming to worship, but they were being persecuted. They were being mistreated. They were being abused, not because they did anything wrong, but because they were believers, but because they were trying to live for Jesus. Can you imagine what that feels like? That you're like, well, should I go to church or not? Because I may die tonight. And in that situation, in that environment, who do you ask for help? Who can teach you how to suffer correctly? Who can teach you how to be faithful when things are difficult? And I believe that we need to learn that today, because life is not easy. And the Christian life, it's great, it's awesome, but it's not easy. And if we want to grow, and if we want to be the people that God has called us to be, then we need to learn how to suffer like Jesus suffered. And we are going to do the exact same thing that the church of Philippi did. We're going to ask Paul. Well, you see, when the church of Philippi asked Paul, they sent this guy named Epaphroditus, and we're going to hear about him later on in another Sunday night, so don't miss it. But when they sent him to talk to Paul, Paul was in prison. So Paul understood. Because Paul was in prison unfairly. He was unjustly imprisoned for being a believer, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they are talking to Paul and saying, and Paul is saying, you know what? I understand what you're going through. I'm going through the same thing. So let me teach you how to suffer for Christ. Let's go to Scripture and see what he taught them, because I believe that he's wanting to teach us as well. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote. Whatever happens, can you say that phrase, whatever happens? Do it again. Whatever happens. That's important. Whatever happens, whether good or bad, whatever happens, what are we supposed to do? Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether you're going through good times and you're blessed, live for Christ. Honor Jesus. But if things are going bad and difficult and you're suffering and things are not going the way that you were planning, honor Christ as well. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then say that with me. Then, if you conduct yourself in a manner worthy of Christ, then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. And what is Paul saying? Saying, whatever happens in your life, live in a way that honors Christ. Live in a way that exalts the name of Jesus. Because if you do that, three things are going to occur. The first one, it says that we are going to be living in the Spirit. And this is important, because Paul is saying, whether I get to see you or not, if you honor Christ in every situation in your life, I'll know that you're living in the Spirit. I know that you're obeying God. You see, we live in the Spirit not only when everything is good and we feel the presence of God. Living in the Spirit is something that we have to do every day, and it involves our decisions. It involves whether we choose to follow God. It involves whether we choose to do what we know is right and what we know is God-honoring, even if it's not convenient for us. So Paul is saying, whatever may happen in your life, make sure that you're honoring the gospel of Christ, because if you do, you're going to be telling me and telling everybody around you that you are filled with the one Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. But not only that, he mentions a second thing. If you strive to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel, then those who are opposing you, those who are causing pain in your life, those who are making your life miserable, will know that they're doing something wrong and will be faced with the reality of their actions. You see, sometimes when unfair things happen to us, we try to defend ourselves, but Paul is saying, no, you don't need to defend yourself, because if you are living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, The Holy Spirit lives in you. And when the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you don't have to worry for a thing, because God will fight for you. And those who oppose you will know that God is on your side. And that's the third thing he says. If you do the right thing all the time, if you live in a manner worthy of the gospel, then you will know that you have a relationship with Jesus. Then you will know that you're living for him, and your life will be completely different. Now, this is difficult, because for the rest of this chapter, in the beginning of the next one, Paul is going to unpack how do we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Let's continue reading. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Now, I want you to notice that word, granted. Granted. That is a very powerful Greek word that here is translated granted, but it would be better said like given as a favor. And Paul is saying, God gave you as a favor the capacity to believe in Jesus. Now, this is very important, because you get to choose whether you believe in Jesus or not. That's your decision. No one can force you to believe in Jesus. But what God did for you is that he gave you as a gift the capacity to believe in Jesus. God gave you faith as a gift. And if you can't believe, it's because it's a gift from God. This word that we translate here as granted, it's the same word that Paul uses in Romans when speaking about God sending the Holy Spirit to baptize us. It's this gift that is supposed to serve us for a purpose, for a reason. But then he continues saying that not only did we receive the capacity of believing in Christ as a gift, we also received the capacity to suffer for Christ. And Paul is saying, and I know that because I am suffering for Christ, I know what I'm talking about. Paul is saying, I don't need to teach you how to worship God when everything is going well. He said, I don't need to teach you how to be faithful when everything is going the way that you thought it was supposed to be. Paul is saying, I'm coming here to remind you that God already gave you a favor, that God already gave you the capacity, the power to confront hard times. That it's not like God is expecting you to do something that you cannot do. That just like God gave you the capacity to have faith, he has given you the capacity to face difficult situations. So you can do it. You have that gift from God. You know, at times when we face situations that are difficult, when we suffer unjustly or unfairly, when we are overlooked at a job, or when we try to do everything right and it seems like everything turns out wrong, we feel hopeless. I don't know what to do. I cannot do anything. But Paul is saying, you may not be able to do anything, but the Holy Spirit that lives in you can do something. The Holy Spirit that lives in you will empower you and will lead you to all truth and all righteousness. The Holy Spirit that is in you has equipped you to face hardships for the name, for the sake of Christ. Now, this for the sake of Christ is important, because this is not talking about those sufferings that we experience because we are making bad decisions, okay? If you're suffering because you made a bad decision, you need to go before the Lord and repent. And the Bible says that God is faithful and just and he will forgive you. But this is the type of suffering that happens when we have done everything right, but still things come out wrong. God says, when that happens, I've already given you the power to overcome. But let's continue because they build one on each other. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, by being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, can you say that phrase with me? In humility. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, this is where this gets difficult, okay? Because now Paul is explaining us a little bit more. He's saying, you need to learn how to suffer for Christ. You've been empowered by God to be able to face difficult circumstances. And now I'm going to show you how, by not thinking about yourself. But that's difficult. Because when bad things happen to me, I think about me. Because when I'm treated unfairly, I'm thinking about me. Because when I suffer, I'm thinking about me. But Paul starts saying all these if statements, if you love God, if you've experienced the Holy Spirit, what he's saying is, if you truly are a believer of Jesus Christ, if you are truly a son of God, then when hardships come, you need to learn how to think of other people instead of thinking about yourself all the time. There are no pity parties in the kingdom of God. And he's saying, whenever you don't feel well, whenever you're struggling, instead of focusing on the negative circumstances around you, learn to look up and look at people around you and start trying to find ways on how to bless other people. How can I pray for my neighbor? How can I help someone at work? How can I help my spouse? How can I help someone at church? What can I do to bless someone else? Because Paul is saying, you suffer like Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit in those moments. But then you may ask, well, Pastor Armin, but if I'm always thinking of other people, who thinks about me? Right? Yeah. Makes sense. Who thinks about you if you think about other people? God thinks about you. He takes care of you. Because you are living for him, he takes care of you. Because we're imitating him, God takes care of you. But this is difficult because it requires a paradigm shift. It requires that we think differently, that we realize that we are not the center of the universe. You may have said that to your spouse a couple of times, but you're not either. I'm not either. And we need to remember that, because when we're suffering, there's a whole lot of people suffering in this world. So you're not the only one. I'm not the only one. But when I'm able to choose to think of other people, I'm saying I'm trusting God. I'm going to help others because I'm trusting that God is going to help me. Can you trust God that much? Do you think God is worthy of that kind of trust? Because I think he is. And I think that we need to remember that we are called that in our relationships with one another, when things are difficult, when we're being persecuted, when we're being mistreated, when everything is going wrong, we are called to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We're called to think like him. And I'm going to skip the next few verses because I'm going to touch them at the end. So let's continue. I'm jumping to verse 12. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. What is he saying? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I've heard a lot of people use this phrase to justify that you need to do something to get saved. That you need to work on your salvation with fear and trembling, and that it is your responsibility to get saved. No, salvation is a gift from God. You don't have to do anything. It is not by works. You cannot do anything to earn the favor or the love of God. God loves you no matter what. Salvation is a gift. And we can receive that gift, like we saw earlier, because God gave us the capacity to believe in Jesus. But what Paul is saying here is that once you believed in Jesus, once you've had a relationship with Jesus, then it is our responsibility to learn how to care for that thing that we have. And he's saying, guys, I know that you guys are suffering, and I know that you guys are being faithful, and I know that you guys are doing the right thing. I know that you're thinking of other people, because Philippi, you guys were suffering, and you thought of me, and you sent me help. I know that you guys are doing this, so continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And for some of us this tonight, that's the word for us. Continue doing what God called you to do. Continue doing what you know is right. This is not the time to give up. Things are hard, but God has empowered you, and he will see you through. But you need to continue. Continue working on the gift that you've received. Even when it's hard, even when it's in fear and trembling, because you're going to get killed. And at this time, we don't face that. But God is calling us to continue doing the right thing, even if it's hard. God is calling us to make these difficult decisions, to stand on our principles. God is calling us to stand firmly in what we have believed, regardless of what anybody else believes, because we know who saved us. And we're called to do that even if we're scared, even if it's with fear and trembling. Just go back one more. Why? Because if you do everything without grumbling or arguing, in that moment, you be blameless and pure. How many of you like to grumble and argue? Don't? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, me too. There's all the honest people that raise their hands, and there are the other people that should have raised their hands, and they're not. I know. I know some of you. But he's saying, when you learn to think about other people when you're not feeling well, instead of grumbling and arguing, then your testimony is the testimony of someone that is blameless. When you learn to go through difficult circumstances and still praise Jesus, when you learn to suffer and still worship the Lord, when you're going through a difficult time and you still make it to church and you're still serving as an usher or in the children's ministry, when you learn that difficulties are part of life and that God has given you the power to overcome, then you don't complain, then you don't argue, then you're worshiping the Lord, even if everything is going wrong, because you know that the one that called you will also deliver you. Let's go to the next one. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Now here Paul gets personal. And he said, you know what? You guys are suffering for Christ. I'm suffering for Christ. But every time that you stand firm in your faith, even though I'm suffering for Christ, I rejoice. Paul is saying, it does my heart good to see you being faithful to God in hard times. And I love that, because that's the heart of a pastor right there. You know, I enjoy, and we have a lot of encouraging people in this church, let me tell you, and that's a blessing. And I enjoy when people come to me and say, hey, pastor, I enjoy your message, or, you know, God used you. That's nice. It feels good. And I say, praise the Lord. And it fills my heart with happiness. And I think that it does to everybody that serves God in one way or another. But you know what the greatest gift that we can give a pastor is? That it's being faithful in the hard times. Because when they are going through hard times, because pastors go through hard times too. God never told me that before he signed me up as a pastor, by the way. I learned that the hard way. But when the pastor is having a hard time, when the leader is having a hard time, and they see you going through a hard time too, but remaining faithful and standing strong and worshiping the Lord and thinking of other people first, and God starts blessing you, then they rejoice. Then we are able to celebrate with you and go right next to you, and then you build our faith as well. And Paul is saying, you know that money that you sent me with Epaphroditus, you know all the care package and all the stuff that you sent with him for me? That was greatly appreciated. But Philippi, you know what the greatest gift that you could give me is remaining faithful in the time of adversity. Is suffering for Christ the right way? Because every time you do that, and every time I hear that, I'm in prison, but I'm praising the Lord and saying, thank you, Jesus, because the work that I did is not in vain. So when we are faithful through difficult times, when we think of others, when we use the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to help others, even when we ourselves need help, the name of Christ is exalted. And the people that hear about our lives are encouraged. Are you an encourager? Is your life encouraging other people to live for God? I think God is calling us. I can hear Jesus calling us and saying, I want something more of you. I want to make you an encourager. As you imitate me, I want to draw other people to me because of your faithfulness, because of my faithfulness in difficult times. Now, you remember that I mentioned that I skipped some verses? Well, the reason why I skipped those verses is because the next few verses are one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. They're actually an old hymn. It's the oldest recorded Christian hymn that I personally know about. This is a hymn that the early church sang in their services. And I want to read it to you. Someone asked me to sing it, but I do not sing. I only sing to cast out demons. Not even demons like to hear me sing and they leave. That's why. Okay? So I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it. But it was a hymn. And this is important because this hymn now teaches us the other side of this equation. Paul was speaking from his experience. And Paul was addressing the experience of the church in Philippi. But now, with this hymn, Paul is talking about the experience of Jesus. And he's going to show us how Jesus faced suffering. Who, speaking about Jesus, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What it's saying is that Jesus willingly chose to undergo suffering, not because he enjoyed being suffering, but because he was thinking of us. So he was thinking of us. God himself decided to become man, decided to limit himself. I mean, think about that. There was a moment in the history of the world where God was living in a cell in the womb of a woman. The creator of heaven and earth. He's self-limited. He had to cry when he was born. And he cried ever since. And he got hungry. And he got tired. And he underwent all the stuff that we go through. Why did he put himself through that? Because when he was suffering, he was thinking of you. He was saying, I want my people. I want my creation. I want a family. I want to redeem them back. I want to call them back. And he knew your name. And he was saying, I'm suffering this because I love you. Because your well-being is more important than mine. So when Paul is saying that we need to imitate Christ, this is what he's calling us to do. To think of others first. Just like Jesus did. Because if you've experienced the love of God in your life, if you have been saved, If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've ever experienced the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, all that happened because Jesus was willing to suffer on your behalf. What if we're able to do that for others? What if we start imitating Christ in such a way that we think of other people first and we try to help them out and we think of them first? Just like Jesus did. See, we don't suffer to get saved, but after we've been saved, we're going to go through difficult times and we need to learn how to suffer like a believer. And I know this is really heavy, and it's like Sunday night and we're talking about suffering, and I'm telling you that you need to learn how to help other people even when you don't feel well. But you know why this message is so powerful? Because of the last few verses that we just read. And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And because he humbled himself, and because he was willing to suffer and think of us, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess or acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you know what it's saying, that after you suffer for a little bit, after you learn how to suffer for Christ and think of other people first, and after you're suffering and other people are worshiping God because of your testimony, after everybody gets blessed while you suffer, if you remain faithful in your suffering, God will exalt you. That the breakthrough that you're looking for is there. You just need to remain faithful. I know it's difficult. I know it's painful. But if you just hold on to Jesus, he's already giving you the power to overcome. If you just hold on, there is an exaltation for you. There's a promotion for you. There's something new that God has for you. You see, us Pentecostals, we like to talk a lot about the empty tomb, that Jesus rose from the dead. But guess what? In order to rise from the dead, he needed to die first. And God is telling us tonight, if you learn to die, you'll be exalted. If you learn to do the will of God even when it's hard, you will experience the blessing of God, the life that only God can bring. And if there's one thing that I would love for you to remember tonight and before we go to the altar, is this. Whatever happens in your life, if you're humble, if you're thinking of other people before yourself, God will exalt you. So what you're going through is not pointless. But if you're humble, and whatever happens to you, God will exalt you. And I would like to invite you to stand with me. Because I think that we need to make a choice tonight and say, I want to imitate Christ. I don't want to be just a fan that wears the jersey and the cap and looks like an athlete. I want to be one. I think God is challenging us to imitate Christ and to learn from him to be faithful, to be humble, no matter what. What if for the next few minutes we come to this altar and ask God, help us. Help us to remain faithful and humble through the suffering, that other people may be blessed and that we may be exalted. Would you come? Let's pray.